Welcome back to Download here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. Well, we continue our series of having big table conversations with the candidates for Illinois governor. The gubernatorial primary is early 2018, and of course, many Democrats are lining up to fight for the nomination to take on incumbent Republican Bruce Rauner. Petitions are being filed, and running mates are being chosen, and that includes Democrat State Representative Scott Drury. Drury's running on the Democratic ticket. He represents the 58th District, which includes the northern suburbs like Highland Park, Lake Forest, and Northbrook. Scott Drury is my guest tonight for a free-ranging conversation about why he thinks he would be a good leader for the state of Illinois. Representative Drury, welcome to the Download.
Thanks so much for having me. I appreciate it.
So why do you want to be governor?
You know, I've been in the General Assembly for 5 years, and before I was in the General Assembly, I was at the U.S. Attorney's Office in Chicago prosecuting public corruption. And I got into government thinking, hey, if we put good people into office, we will get better results out of office. And in the 58th district, people absolutely know that's possible, but they don't know it's statewide. And so I'm running for governor to let people know that we can return government to them and that we can bring real trust to government and bring an honest change. So when people hear the word Illinois, they can be proud of it for once.
Well, obviously, we have a sordid history with that. When it comes to corruption, I ask just about that being a real cornerstone for your campaign, this idea that you want to get rid of political corruption in the state of Illinois. We've heard over and over and over that has been gotten rid of. From your seat in the House, is it still there? Is it still present? Is it still an issue?
You know, corruption exists in so many different forms, right? There's the criminal corruption. Right. We think of Governor Blagojevich and Governor Ryan. And then there's the moral and the ethical corruption of, is government doing the right thing? Is it representing the people? Is every decision being made on behalf of the public, or is it being made on behalf of lobbyists or politicians? And there absolutely 100% is a ton of moral and ethical corruption going on in the state of Illinois. And it's why the state can't move forward, because the state is working for self-interest, not for public interest. It's the opposite of why I got into government.
You know, it is interesting because you've come out and said that you're running against the lobbyists and the way that they have relationships with lawmakers. You've been in Springfield, like you said, for 5 years, seen it firsthand. Is this a serious issue that the taxpayers of Illinois should be paying attention to, how lawmakers are lobbied?
They absolutely should be. I mean, there's a law in Illinois. It's a very simple law. It says lobbyists shall not give gifts to legislators. That should be where that paragraph ends. There are then 10 more paragraphs of all the exceptions of accept this and accept that, except unless they take you to dinner or except they buy you a gift. And, you know, in the past year, over $100,000 was spent on lobbyist gifts and meals to my colleagues. And, you know, we're taught when we're young there's no such thing as a free lunch.
Right.
But in Springfield, there are free dinners, free lunches, free everything. And what are they getting for that? I mean, the public needs to ask that question, and they can answer it, too, at the same time they're asking it, because government is not on the public side.
Yeah, and it is hard for us as taxpayers to hear that, because so many big-ticket things either happen or don't happen down on Springfield's watch. I mean, we see what will happen with the budget and with education. You wonder how much of an influence the lobby has, any particular lobby, on the lawmakers and making decisions for the good of Illinois.
It's there. It's omnipresent, right? And I don't know that there's any one study you can look at and say, this was directly tied to that. But over the course of looking at Illinois government and people saying, why do we always get it wrong? Why when we make a decision, is it the wrong decision? Why do the politicians seem to always be bettering themselves and lobbyists are doing okay, but I'm not? The frustrated person in Illinois, they know the reason, is that the self-interest, the motivation of the average politician in Illinois is to stay in office,
right,
and not to work on behalf of the people. And there's so many things that allows that. I mean, we can talk about it over the course of this interview, but you know, having legislative maps where politicians pick their voters, and that those are Obama's words, not mine, instead of voters picking their politicians, if you don't have to worry about being reelected, then why not go out to dinner for free every night?
Well, the Republican governor ran on the concept of term limits and changing the Constitution, dealing with redistricting, and he was elected. He ran into a lot of opposition, mostly from the Democratic Party. You're a part of that party. You're a state representative in, you know, that has been at the table to take on the governor and some of these changes. So things like term limits or as to redistricting, those are things that you would favor as a Democrat?
I favor redistricting a whole lot more, because redistricting is something that immediately can have an impact. If we had competitive races all over the state of Illinois instead of 12 or 15 legislative districts, then you're going to almost have automatic term limits, because if somebody's not representing their constituents, you know what's going to happen to that person? He or she's going to be out of office. But right now, that can't happen. And yes, I'm a Democrat, and I'm happy to be actually the only Democrat in the House that is part of a U.S. Supreme Court filing for the Supreme Court's hearing a case about term limit, not term limits, redistricting across the country. And the fact that I'm the only Democrat in the House who is willing to sign on to that brief for such an important issue shows how self-interested people are. I mean, look, you have President Obama and Eric Holder going across the country advocating for fair maps or you know, fair redistricting across the country, and then the former president's own state is saying no. Like, they both can't be right.
For you and your time, it's a short amount of time to be in the General Assembly in the State House. You know, obviously, and we'll get to this conversation, but the topic of the Speaker, Mike Madigan.
Always do, right?
But I wonder, because the Democrats have really, they continue to rally around the Speaker, and the Speaker, besides your present vote, is unanimous in retaining and becoming the Speaker again. You can make an argument he's won the budget battle, and even maybe you can make an argument for the education battle. He is the face of the Democratic Party. How do you run for governor when you run a campaign against him?
So, look, he gets all of the votes except for mine over 30 years, not just last year, but over 30 years. How does he do that? Because it's not because the public is so in love with him. Any public polling done on the issue shows that, you know, 26% on a good day supports the job that he's doing statewide, yet 100% or 99% of the legislators are voting for him. So why is that? That, you know, and it's because of fear, right? It's because of self-interest, right? People are scared of being primaried. He may run someone against you, so you'll lose your job. You may lose a chairmanship. You may not get legislation passed. But nothing in that equation is for the people of the state of Illinois. So how do you win? You go out and you say, I'm campaigning for you. I'm a Democrat. I'm a proud Democrat. People always say, oh, why don't you switch parties? Because I'm a Democrat.
I was going to say, you sound like an independent.
I mean, but I'm really a Democrat.
Yeah, because the chairman of the party is Mike Madigan. The endorsed candidate, as much as that can be done at this point, is Mike Madigan's candidate. You run the danger of running yourself right out of the election when you take on your own party.
Well, I don't think so. I think especially in these times, and you look at the 2016 presidential election, and you look at, you know, the candidates in the Democratic primary and what Bernie Sanders was able to do, and you look at who came out of the Republican primary and is now our president, and no one would have thought that those candidacies would have had a chance, let alone, you know, a real chance. Right. So our campaign is talking to those same frustrated voters. And to me, democracy and being in the Democratic Party is not about who is the chairman in Illinois of the Democratic Party. It's about values. And I went to school in Berkeley, UC Berkeley. I learned what it is to be a Democrat. Now, there's things going on over there right now that are a little odd. But just because one person has a vision in Illinois of what the Democratic Party should be does not mean that is the only vision of the Democratic Party. People could really look at the Illinois Democratic Party and ask, are those people Democrats, actually? And that's one of my big issues, is we sell out our core base on all sorts of issues to win. Like, that's what the Democrats in Illinois do, winning Trump's core values. And I want to return to our values. That's what this campaign's about.
State Representative Scott Drury, my guest. He's running for governor on the Democrat side. He is my guest for the hour at the big table here. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back more with Scott Drury here on The Download. Stay with us. Welcome back to Download here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. In studio with me at the big table tonight, Scott Drury. He's the Democratic representative in the State House for the 50th District, which is Lake Forest, Highland Park, northern suburbs. He's running for governor on the Democrat side. He's running in the primary. He's got a lot of competition. You had earlier this week, you had the forum, which was great to get up on stage and be able to talk to the voters with other candidates. Where do you see the difficulties in winning this primary? Where is it? Is it money? Is it a foregone conclusion or the idea that another candidate's been endorsed? Where do you see the challenges for your campaign?
You know, it's interesting. The race has changed a lot, right? When I got into the race, there were 8 or 9 people running, and I think technically there's still 8 or 9 people running, but by just staying in the race and bringing our message across, I was at a forum last night at the Goodman Theater, and there were 3 of us. on the stage. And there's one candidate who's been, you know, missing it at most of these forums. And
Chris Kennedy. Yeah.
And there are other candidates who are taking missteps. And I'm a trial lawyer, and we know trials take a long time. You present your evidence to the public. You know that your trial plan is solid, and at the end you ask for a verdict. And we're going to do the same exact thing. We know that there are frustrated voters who may have even voted for Governor Rauner, Democrats who may have even voted for Governor Rauner. They want to change so badly, and they're so ready to come back to the Democratic Party, but they don't want to go back to the machine. And the only game in town is our campaign. Now there's others trying to say they're that game, but it's right. It's fallen apart.
There seems to be a desire by a lot of the candidates that aren't in the front runners to say that they're more progressive, that they run a more, to use a 2016 a Bernie Sanders campaign. You are similar in that regard. Your running mate, the choice for Lieutenant Governor, Alex Hirsch, 26-year-old kid who was a Bernie Sanders delegate or supported the Bernie Sanders campaign. Why'd you pick Alex? What is it about him? Essentially, a guy who's worked for you.
Yep.
A very strange, odd choice to not bring somebody else in that has political experience or from other places. Why Alex Hirsch?
So I think we can all agree that the lieutenant governor is a required position, but not a necessary position. I think Eric Zorn did a piece on that in the Tribune the other day. So when I was looking at who should be in that position, I looked at somebody who believes in the same values that this campaign believes in, and someone who is smart, someone who is intelligent, someone who is motivated, and someone that not only that I can trust, but that over time I know the public can trust. Like, look, in this very election, we've seen what happens when all you do is have a candidate fill out a questionnaire and you do one interview with the candidate and they fit a specific set of boxes you're trying to check off. Mm-hmm. It's a disaster. So what we did is we picked someone that we know can be trusted to carry out the message and fight this epic battle that this campaign is fighting. I mean, we've talked about it, right? This campaign is not just an easy campaign of talking points about the Democratic Party. We're focused on the problems in the Democratic Party and looking inward before we look outward and blaming others. Now, amongst the candidates, everyone uses this word progressive, progressive, progressive. Yeah. You know, I actually believe the budget needs to be balanced. We have to take care of our pension debt, you know, but when it comes, you know, and so some people say, well, those are moderate issues. And, you know, to me, it's just math. We need to do that. And I think Alex is a perfect balance to this campaign, and to the extent that he can energize a group of voters, that's wonderful. But we picked him because the people can trust him, mm-hmm. and because he's honest, and because he's just a solid person.
It is interesting because you, as a state representative, represent a North Shore base and also some northern suburbs. Daniel Biss, on the other side, who's also running for governor, state senator, represents close to the same locations. It's interesting to know in one gubernatorial primary race, you have a state rep and a state senator that represent the same area. What is it about that area, the northern suburbs and where you come from, that make you ready to run a campaign for governor?
Yeah, you know, I can speak to my candidacy. I live in one of the few districts that actually is competitive. I have a purple district, and in 2014, I won by 9 or 10 points, and I think Governor Rauner won by over 20. But the frustration that I sense from Democrats and Republicans is enormous. But what really drives me on a daily basis as a representative, as now as a candidate, is when I'm in town. People say to me, they'll walk up to me, people I don't even know, and they'll say, you know what's so awesome is when we see that someone in Illinois government, the one person who was doing anything was Scott Drury, D, and it says Highwood, which is in their district, and that they can say, that's our guy. He's ours. And so why shouldn't the whole state be able to feel like that? And that's what I want to do. I want to change people's perception. When you talk to people, if we go downstairs to the plaza and you say first word that comes to your mind when you hear the word Illinois, it is going to be negative. That's people's view of Illinois. And we want to turn that around so people can say, I'm so proud. I'm proud that we're dealing with our structural deficits. I'm mm-hmm. proud that we care about our environment. I'm proud that we care about our people. But we need a leader who's committed to that and has a history of doing that.
And I want to talk to you about the issues of the budget and pensions. And you have a lot of plans on how you would deal with tax increases or taking away tax increases in that regard. For you as a former, you know, working in the U.S. Attorney's Office, a former trial lawyer, and also your time in Springfield, what's the one issue? Governor Rauner goes down. He says, I'm a businessman. I can bring jobs to the state. I'm going to create a business-friendly state. That's what I can do. Other candidates have other issues. What's the one issue where you say, I can roll up my sleeves, this is what I do, I can fix this issue for the state of Illinois?
Well, the thing that I can do and that I've been working on and have shown my district is we can build a trust back between the public and the government. If there's no trust and there's not, it becomes almost impossible to govern because the people in Illinois think that money is going to some black hole called Springfield, and I'm just
you can do that from what? From your experience as a lawyer?
I can do it from a few points of perspective. One is where I came from. Like I wasn't knocking on precinct doors for committeemen, and they said, "Oh, it's his turn." Right? I was at the U.S. Attorney's office. My career was bookended by Governor Ryan being indicted when I started, and I believe it was in the middle of the second Blagojevich trial when I left. And I left to try to make a difference in government. And then I've held true to my word, and I've taken positions that people say no Democrat would ever take. I didn't vote for the Speaker of the House, and here I am talking to you running for governor. So when people say, boy, we want someone who's different, not someone who just says they're going to be different, not someone who says, oh, I'm against the machine, we can all say that.
Right.
Who has done anything? And then I've laid out a concrete plan, Rebuild Illinois, of what we're going to do and how we're going to do it. And it's through actions. It's not just by saying things. It's through actions. How are you going to deal with the pensions, right? Everyone says they're going to deal with the pensions. Governor Rauner hasn't done anything in 2.5 years to remotely address the issue of pensions. And we can talk about taxes all you want, but if you don't talk about that debt, Illinois is a dog chasing its tail.
Let's do this. Let's take a break. We'll get an update on tonight's news. And then we'll want to come back and continue the conversation. We'll talk about pensions and the budget. Because Rebuild Illinois, it's interesting because it really does. The plan centers around, the fact that we don't need to increase taxes. We just saw with the budget and with education funding, the fix was to make taxpayers pay for it. We saw that over and over and over. And I think you can probably find out somewhere in there where the distrust of government and taxpayers lies. Scott Drury is my guest. He is the state representative, 58th District up in the North Shore, North Suburbs. He is running for governor on the Democrat side in the primary coming up here in early 2018. We'll take a break, we'll come back, and we'll continue the conversation here at the Big Table. Stay with us. Welcome back to Download here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. In studio tonight, Scott Drury. Scott Drury is a state representative for the 58th District here in the state of Illinois, in the northern suburbs, Highland Park, Highwood, Northbrook, Lake Forest, places like that. He's running for governor on the Democratic side, the primary coming up here in early 2018. He's my guest tonight at the Big Table. All right, let's talk about pensions. Let's talk about Rebuild Illinois.
Yeah.
This is fascinating to me because right before the break, we talked a little bit about, people can say anything they want, but you got to back it up. A lot of what you talk about is that we don't need these tax increases. If you were governor of Rebuild Illinois, you wouldn't have any new taxes. And I feel like we hear that every time someone runs for governor. I feel like we heard that from Bruce Rauner. We heard that from Democrats who are running. We don't need new taxes. We won't. And then they get into office 2 years in, they're like, there's no other way around it. How do you see a future of Illinois in which we reverse course and stop increasing taxes?
I think first it's actually interesting because normally that's true. But in this campaign, I'm the only one in the primary who isn't campaigning on raising taxes. All of my opponents are saying we need more taxes. We just raised taxes.
Are they pragmatic? I mean, do they get it? Are you kind of pie in the sky and they get it? Hey, we need that.
No, they're talking about the progressive income tax and they can talk about that. The fact is there isn't one and there won't be one at the earliest, if ever, till 2022. And I was at a debate yesterday and it was interesting. I brought that up and I said this is going to be a tax increase for everybody, working class, small businesses. And because there is no progressive income tax, and J.B. Pritzker finally said, yeah, we're going to increase the flat tax, and then we're going to do tax credits. Okay, well, we just did that. We literally did it 5 weeks ago. We just did that. And so the answer is when we're trying to get Amazon to come here and get Toyota to come to Rockford, our plan, we're just going to keep raising taxes, Toyota, and they're going to come. Or are we going to deal with our structural problems? So how do you deal with that problem? Because it's real. You can offer buyouts to people. You can.
This is where pensions. This is important pensions. Because you feel like this is the one thing that keeps Illinois behind the mounting debt. And we continue with the balloon payments all the way through, not just the state of Illinois, but the city of Chicago as well. How do you deal with something that it seems like every politician is throwing their hands up in the air going, well, let's just shut our eyes?
You roll your sleeves up and you say, look, we don't have that many options because of the Supreme Court's opinion in our Constitution. Right. So what can we do? We can offer people options. You don't force anybody. You can't force anybody. So this is Constitution. You say, if you want to take 70 cents on the dollar, a lump sum of money, we will offer that to you. The pension systems believe that 25% to 35% would take an offer in some form. And so you're immediately reducing the debt load in people.
So you would offer that to people who should be getting 100% of their money, but they take 70% because they know that.
Because they're scared. There's all different reasons.
Something's going to change. Yeah,
there's some people in a two-pension family, and they say, you know, one of us will take it. Some people I've heard for estate planning reasons that, you know, a pension, it goes to you, it goes to your spouse, and it disappears. If you take the cash, it can go to whoever you want it to go to. So I don't pretend to know all of the reasons.
So you're flexible on how you use that pension money.
But they think there are people – and again, people don't want to take it. They stay in the system, and they can get their pension. So that's step one. Step two is that Illinois actually has to make – the pension payment, and not just a payment we make up, but the actuarially required pension payment, which we didn't do. Even this year, everyone's like, oh, we have a balanced budget. We didn't. I actually voted against the budget because there was a budget that was really long and detailed, and then you didn't have enough time to review that. We went to what's called a caucus where we talk about the budget, and then you come back and the budget was amended. And it was amended to short the pension systems by $500 million.
Why do you – I saw you talking about that. Why do you think the media has overlooked that? Why do you think it is that we see all the reporters and the columnists and everyone talking, celebrating that we came to a compromise for budget? But one of the reasons we're in this budget stalemate is because we have been shorting pension payments. So the idea that is on the table and part of a new budget and not being called out is somewhat alarming.
I think it is, but if you don't have a budget for 740 days, there was just, I think, a collective sigh of relief and people believing what they want to believe of Illinois is moving forward. We limped forward, and you limp forward by cheating our kids, by cheating our grandkids, and making it so what's going to happen is you're going to need another tax increase. My plan says, look, let's pay down that debt. Let's build some trust. Show the public for the first time in decades that we're going to take care of pensions, and then go back to the public and say, hey, look, this is what we've been able to do. And now maybe we re-amortize or refinance the remainder of it. And why do I want to do that? Because our pension payment is $8 billion a year. The tax increase raised $5 billion. So our pension payment outpaces the tax increase. If you can get a portion of that back and you could put it into public education, you could put it into our neighborhoods so there's not so much violence, you could put it into job training, you can put it into health care. That's how you're going to get people to believe in the state of Illinois, and not just the people who live here, but the people and the businesses are thinking of, I really want to come to Illinois because it's great. It's got Chicago. It's the center of transportation. It's got an educated workforce. But I just can't come there because its dysfunction and its uncertainty keeps me away.
Why, with these ideas that seem very aware and focused, why aren't we doing that? Why aren't we paying down the debt to show trust? Why aren't we dealing with a pension payment that's $8 billion when we're only bringing $5 billion in a new tax revenue? What's standing in the way of the ideas that you want to reform Springfield with happening right now?
I think when it comes to pension debt, for whatever reason, it's become a third rail that no one wants to talk about. So it's like in this interview, right? I've talked about the two third rails in politics. I've talked about Mike Madigan, and I've talked about pensions, and lightning has not struck me down yet. But that's what no one wants to talk about it because they don't want to talk about it. People would rather talk about raising taxes than talk about the real issue. But we all know that we can't deal with the real problems when you have $200 billion in debt and it's growing. So I'm happy to talk about it. And I'm finding that because I keep talking about it, I'm forcing the conversation with the other candidates that don't want to talk about it. It's real. And if we're committed, and it's not a Republican argument, if we're committed to bringing jobs to Illinois, then you want Toyota to come to Illinois. If you want jobs in Illinois for Democratic workers, you want Amazon to open up a headquarters in Chicago that's going to employ 50,000 people.
Criminal justice, violence a big issue in Chicago. We've had a situation in the state of Illinois where it seems that the dysfunction down in Springfield has taken center stage, as it should, but hasn't been much talk at the state level about what happens in the city of Chicago when it comes to violence. You are former, like I said, U.S. Attorney's Office. You have been a trial, or you've been in the criminal justice committees.
Yep.
As a governor, as a leader of the state of Illinois, where does violence in the city of Chicago and other places around the state, but the city of Chicago, where does that rank in the issues that you would take on?
It's a huge issue, and it's a tragic issue. And it's not just in Chicago, but certainly it's more magnified in the city. And I was on the Commission on Criminal Justice and Sentencing Reform, where we came up with a plan. It's published. People can look at it to reduce the prison population by 25% by 2025. But why isn't that important? It's because the solutions were that incarceration is not the answer. You need to invest in neighborhoods. You need to have after school programs. You need to have anti-violence programs. People need to be educated. And so I don't want to be a broken record talking about the pension debt, but when we don't have the money to invest, what are we doing? What did Springfield do for violence this year? We increased mandatory minimum sentences. And there's no study anywhere that shows that there's a direct correlation to reducing violence. What it takes to reduce violence is effort. And unfortunately, we haven't been putting in the effort because of our financial problems, and that's just not right. And so, you know, our plan is to take the money that we get from reducing the prison population and reinvest it in the neighborhoods, reinvest it in education, and give people hope, you know, so that the only out for them isn't crime, mm-hmm. And we've done that. We've set that system up, and enough people are not talking about it because it gets overshadowed in Springfield by the fighting, the infighting, and just the pettiness.
The last two questions. One, just about how you see a win in coming up in the winter time here, the early spring when it comes to primary time for the Democratic primary. Marilyn Katz was on not too long ago. I ask everybody this question who's running for office. But Marilyn Katz says, you cannot win the Democratic primary for anything state-run office without the black community. The African-American community in Chicago specifically is a huge voting bloc. And what are you doing? Do you recognize that? And what are you doing to say that you're the preferred candidate for an African-American voter here in the state of Illinois?
I think any voter in the state of Illinois has the same interests. And so, you know, whether we're talking to Latino voters, African-American voters, downstate voters, you know, our message is that the government hasn't been working for you. Right, and you could pretend all you want that government's been on your side, and then you can look at life around you and you can say, is this the Illinois that I want? Is my lot in life where I want it to be? And have the typical politicians delivered on what they've told me they're going to deliver on. If you believe that everything is perfect, then don't vote for me. But if you know, like we all know, that there are so many major problems in the state of Illinois and that politicians just talk and they tell you one thing and they tell someone something else, then this is the campaign that you need to look at, and you need to look at my record. Of all the candidates running, only two of us have records in the General Assembly, and I'm the only one actually running on my record. Look at them and say, you know what? This person sticks his neck out there when he has no self-interest. He should do the total opposite thing, but he's fighting for us. And that's how you win votes.
Let's get to the infighting in Springfield. That's the juicy part, right? But the you did vote present.
You'll have to have me back on.
Yeah, right. You did vote present when it came to reelecting the Speaker in the House. The interesting part was that you lost your the court? I can't remember.
I was taken off the Criminal Judiciary Committee.
Criminal Judiciary Committee. Other little things as well. And you're not rerunning. You're not running in the 58th. So, you know, there was thought that he was going to primary you in this regard. If you weren't running for governor, would you stay in Springfield? Would this be something you'd fight for? Is the tenor and the climate and what you were contributing to Springfield in the House, is it worth the job?
Being in public service is worth the job. You know, when I didn't vote for him, I was the only one. There are a lot of people who felt and feel like I do. So the reason, and one of the reasons for running for governor, is these people that are scared, that they're just voting for him because they're scared, they have nowhere to go. And I recognize that. And as a state representative, I couldn't offer them any place to go. But when this campaign takes off and when I become governor after the general election in November, it now provides those people who have been terrified for decades another avenue. And the goal isn't to say we're going to overthrow this person, overthrow that person. It's to have democracy.
It's funny to say that because there has been a Democrat governor and governors who've said they've been independent. And I could talk about Blagojevich, who's back in the news, but Quinn as well, who worked with who had a lot of back and forth conflict with the speaker. You know, the idea that there was this sort of infighting within party. I mean, Blagojevich and Madigan, that was some intense stuff back in the day. How do you deal with that if you become governor, that you have a speaker who's not going anywhere, yeah, and you're going to have to deal with a House? And then you also have a Republican Party that is not keen on working with a Democratic governor. How do you win and get the things that you're talking about and rebuild Illinois through with a contentious split like that?
I think that's where the experience matters. I think, you know, where Governor Rauner and our current president are at a severe disadvantage is they have no experience in government. And I'm not saying you want entrenched politicians, but I've been there. And I've only been there for 5 years, but I've worked across the aisle. People can look at my records. I've passed legislation even after I didn't vote for the Speaker of the House. And so people can say he's found a way to take positions on behalf of the public and also get his agenda and our agenda accomplished. And again, I'm running on a record. Governor Blagojevich, he went about everything the wrong way. And Governor Rauner, he wasn't interested in moving the state forward. He's seemingly interested in just shutting the state down for some reason. You know, I'm a Democrat, and my goal is to bring back core Democratic values to the party. And, you know, Speaker Madigan and I we're not going to agree on everything, but there's going to be things that we agree on. And there are going to be Republicans who I've worked with really well over the years, and they've seen that on tough votes, sometimes I've not, you know, stood with my party. I've stood with what's right. And that's going to come back to reward not just me, but the people of the state of Illinois when they see that there's a governor who wants to work in a bipartisan manner and has a history of doing that. You know, there's not the risk of voting me into office that there is with all these other candidates who just talk a big game. People can look at my record, and we can debate it. I'm always happy to do that and come back on and do that another day.
Of course. Scott Drury, the representative who represents the 58th District, Democrat from Highwood, Highland Park, Lake Forest, Northbrook, running for governor on the Democratic side, the gubernatorial primary coming up in early 2018. Mr. Drury, thanks so much for being my guest at the big table.
Appreciate it. I really appreciate it. Take care.